Coming up, a strong women conversation on KEXE, KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Facilitator Laura Conley and I talk about our most recent focus group, this time and for the first, but probably not the last time, virtually. Strong Women is funded by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It's a project where we listen to women from small towns and rural places in northern Minnesota. And we listen to the themes, the stories, the similarities of their experiences. This time we asked how they were handling the pandemic. I asked Laura where the idea came from.
I think it came, you know, kind of from a conversation that you and I had about, you know, you're doing a lot of different programming at the station around COVID-19 and the implications to everybody. And we just learn something every day. And having an opportunity to kind of take a look at what's the gendered implication of all of it. How is it in particular affecting women? What does it mean for us? It all happened relatively quickly. And so everything was kind of just this gender neutral intervention into the world, which when that sort of stuff happens, there are different implications on different groups of people. And we're seeing that in a lot of different ways, right? Like different implications, different cultural backgrounds, different ethnicity, different age. So we just wanted to focus on what does this mean for women? And I think with this one in particular, for women who are in leadership roles.
Yeah, and I think women don't get asked about how they're doing through this. I think they're asked, how are your kids doing? And how are you doing with distance learning? Are you able to get food? How's your husband? These kinds of things. Not like, what's the toll that this kind of thing is taking on you and your family and the work that you want to be doing as an individual in the world?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that just, you know, when you think about doing this in kind of this non-traditional way and doing it on Zoom and you and I both checking in afterwards. So when I was on Zoom on my screen, it was like a checkerboard so I could see everybody's face.
Yeah.
And it was such a stark, like, holy crap. Like, you could just see the different ways it was weighing on people.
Yeah. One of our participants say how much they valued being able to kind of lay eyes on each other during this and just be able to see, have eye contact with people. It's a strange thing that we never really thought about before, that you need that from others. So one thing, and we'll say this again at the end, but I want to say, I think a lot of people are doing things like trying to connect in a way they hadn't before through places like Zoom. But I think it often gets kind of weighted down in, how do I even say this? In kind of the personal stuff, or, I mean, not that that isn't important. It's important to have some happy hours with your friends, but I hope in listening to this, people and women kind of maybe take some time to have a more focused conversation with friends of theirs. You know, it doesn't have to be overly serious. Ours certainly wasn't just all seriousness, but being asked how you're doing.
Yeah, and to, you know, do it with supportive, non-judgmental people, because
right,
we learned the other night, it's like riding the waves. You know, you're going to be in a lot of different places inside your mind at a lot of different times because this is something we've never experienced before.
Right.
And so we have to allow room for that.
I'm learning through this whole process, as I'm sure you are, but at first I was really trying to set up a lot of these kinds of conversations with my friends, you know, like maybe 3 a week with different people and checking on them. And I got really tired, you know, and partially because my job has expanded, not become less. And so I'm trying to deal with that in my personal life. But I realized the reason I was doing those was for other people. I want to make sure they were okay. So I had to, because I didn't know how to deal with my kind of feelings of exhaustion and anger and sadness and all that stuff. I think about, well, what do I need right now? And I still feel a little guilt about it, but I'm pushing through it that I need to think about who I connect with right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, you know, like our, both of us, our work life is totally online and in Zoom meetings and on phone calls. Yeah. So kind of try to switch to do that also with your friends. While it's important, it feels like a lot, but I do think trying to make time for it every so often is really important. Because one thing in general for women, I believe, is we have a tendency to, and we've talked about this kind of every time in our focus group summaries, like how we individually blame ourselves for everything that's going wrong with us and in the world. And so this is a time when people are even more isolated because we're supposed to stay home. And so that can really exacerbate some of that stuff in our heads.
Well, let's start talking about the focus group that we did. So we did kind of a check-in with everybody on the group. I'm trying to think, what's the number? How many people did we have on it?
I think there were 12, right?
Yeah. What's your overall take on like where we found people? I mean, it dawned on me today as I was thinking about our conversation. 8:30 is pretty late to start having a pretty serious conversation, but people are working hard. They've got kids. We were hoping their kids were able to be in bed by then and all that kind of stuff. But what was your overall take on how everyone checked in that evening?
Yeah, so the check-in for me was really symbolic of, you know, and how different women, based on their different lived experiences, are carrying this. There was some women were, you know, one woman has her own office, so she can go there and work. Nobody else is around, so she can literally, you know, she has a kid at home. And so she's in her office and kind of present. I remember another woman was just like woke up because she had fallen asleep putting her little two-year-old to bed. And she was like, I didn't even know if I could process anything like this. And then I just felt like I had to get on it. Mm-hmm. You know, she needed it, but she was tired.
Yeah.
I think like tired was kind of an overall sentiment, not for everybody, but I think that was a common, it's feeling like a lot mm-hmm. for a lot of women. And, you know, we can get into all of that sort of stuff, like what we see happening. So we know that like something like this, a pandemic makes inequities, it magnifies them immediately. Right. So when you think about like globally, 70% of the workforce in the healthcare system and social services is women. And then the schools and the daycares are closing. And so the childcare, regardless of if you have a super supportive partner, which women on the Zoom call were saying, you know, they have supportive partners. So it's not about that. You're still mom. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that that is added expectation and weight. So I think we could see that. And then I just think the distribution of labor is obvious in terms of caring for others, but also the distribution of who's holding all the emotional weight of this is gendered. And that was something that was obvious to me. Did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And how there is this idea. One of our participants mentioned an article in The Atlantic that I have had time to read now about how it's called The Coronavirus is a Disaster for Feminism. And it starts off saying that things that we're hearing are that, hey, this time at home, we could discover the most amazing things. We could do our best work of our lives. And you know, look at people like Shakespeare and Isaac Newton during pandemics. But as this author points out, she says, Helen Lewis is the author. She says, neither of these people mentioned had childcare responsibilities. And it seems to me, even if men and women, now I don't have children, so I'm speaking from what I heard from others, women seem to be the ones who are arranging for other people to help out, to outsource some of it that gives women balance in their lives, whether that's going to their moms or going to a friend who has kids about the same age or daycare or that kind of thing. And that isn't there anymore.
Right. They have to stay home.
Yeah. And so women have to take that up for the most part. I mean, I think, of course, that's a general statement, but that was very clear to me how, you know, sometimes it's good to hear positive and negative about how this is affecting everyone. But sometimes you hear a lot of like, oh, I've totally organized all my closets, or I have done all these things. I've accomplished so much and it's amazing. And then that gets to you because you're like, yeah, I was in my pajamas all day yesterday, even during a Zoom meeting, you know, or I just couldn't work from home yesterday, even though I needed to.
Yeah.
You know, or I got into this argument with my husband because I'm just wiped out.
Yes. I think that when you were talking about that article, so that kind of became one of the main themes that we heard from the focus group, was this idea that these already kind of ingrained inequities and inequalities, we can see them and feel them. And like one woman said, you know, it feels like we're carrying all the emotional labor so much more visibly, and it just seems so intense for women right now. And then another one said, it's a lot. We're having to educate the kids. We're, you know, and you're, like you said, you don't have kids, but you are in, your job suddenly is way more intense than it was before. I mean, because it needs to be, right? Like you are in media and want to inform people and keep people connected, and that's awesome. But it's an added pressure to you and to other women. The one of the huge themes was this idea of guilt. You know, how that will be the name of the game for women. And everybody said a little bit, they might not have used the words guilt, but it was there in everything people, what they were saying. So, you know, one, she has two kids, she's working from home now. She's like, I'm getting paid to work, so I want to do a good job. But I also feel like my highest priority right now in a crisis situation is to raise my boys. I have to be their teacher, you know, and her kids are younger. So she's not doing, they get like packets of information to do with their kids. My boys are a little bit older. So a lot of their stuff is virtual, which to me feels easier, you know, but like, did your kids get too much screen time? You feel guilty about that. Feel guilty about the fact that you can't go see your parents. You feel guilty about the fact that you're tired. You're feeling guilty about the fact that you feel emotional about all of this stuff when it's actually extremely normal and natural to have those reactions to a crisis situation. And I just think that that's a pretty gendered thing. Because I've been in contact through these Zoom things with a lot of men too. And they aren't, that's not what they're carrying around.
Right. They're affected, certainly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
But not the guilt that they aren't doing enough.
Yeah. It's always kind of like, I should be doing more. I'm never doing enough. And feeling awful about that.
Yeah. And so if you're listening right now, it's not true.
You know.
I'm working hard on doing that. And Laura, you are as well, as getting that out of your brain, because you're doing exactly what you can do right now, and you need to give yourself a break.
None of it's going to be perfect.
You're listening to Strong Women on KAXE KBXE. What you're listening to is a conversation about a virtual focus group we held with women from Itasca County, strong women who talked openly and freely about how the pandemic is for them in their daily lives. Laura Connolly is the facilitator. She tells us more.
Another thing that was talked about was this idea that people were seeing how women are on the front lines of this. Like I said earlier, you know, 70% of the workforce globally in healthcare and the social sector is women. But then you know, one woman talked about how all the emails she's getting where people are organizing and doing this and feeding people and getting the schools and stuff is pretty gendered in nature. And so women are at the same time kind of like figuring out really innovative, creative, bigger ways to address all of this stuff. And that also not seeking any validation for it. That's a thing, right? Like,
yeah, validation, seeking validation doesn't feel right. that you, it's very easy to take on responsibility, and you feel like you're responsible for doing an even better job than you do already. Women are holding up society right now all across the world. Through childcare, through healthcare, through education, through all the frontline, making the food, you know, for takeout, making the food in hospitals, you know.
Being like millions of homemade masks.
Yes. Yeah.
I know so many women who are just like sewing masks.
Yeah. And women, I think when that was talked about, it was like, oh, finally, there's something to be done. I can do this. And women came together and did it. I know one man who has done it. But other than that, it's really, I think you hear about it being women. But so I think some of the main themes that I think are good takeaways that I learned a lot from is that we're all kind of feeling some of these over responsibility for the situation right now that we don't have any control of. That's causing a lot of weird emotions because never before have we been as out of control as we are right now, because we can't do anything about the outcome right now. And then guilt, you know, responsibility and guilt that you may not even know that you're feeling. And that's why it's good to reach out to other people and to talk about some of these things, because people are feeling this, women especially.
Yeah. And if the distribution of like housework and childcare before a pandemic was balanced, it's really out of whack now. And that's hard. You know, I've been thinking a lot too. One woman on the Zoom focus group was saying how she's just like been spending a lot of time thinking about single mothers that are working. How are they doing that? You know, that's really hard to think about. And then I was thinking about all the women I worked with over the years, battered women who now they're home, they're supposed to stay home, and that's probably the worst place for them. These things are real.
Yeah, and I think if you've been lucky enough to not be affected by domestic violence, you don't automatically make that connection between this stay-at-home order and that it would increase domestic violence. Can you kind of explain why that makes that situation even worse?
Isolation is the name of the game in general. If somebody is abusing you, they try to isolate you from other people. And now you are forced into isolation because of the pandemic. And when you are with somebody who is abusing you, they don't stop abusing you because there's a pandemic. Things probably are worse, would be my assumption. Sure. Based on all.
Sure. I know. Well, yeah. And if money is difficult, yeah. Lost and your job, if there's a lot more drug or alcohol stuff going on because of that, which is understandable right now, it's a tough time. But it's a really, I think we've talked to a few people about this on the air, but if you know someone that's in a situation that you've always kind of felt might be questionable, just check in with them more often than you normally would right now.
Uh-huh.
It's a tough time. So I wanted to ask you, Laura, what, you know, you have the hat as our guide through this focus group and kind of leading these bigger ideas, but what did you personally take away from our conversation?
Right after, just was, you know, we were on there late. We were on there till I think 10:30 or something. And so I got into bed and I just laid there and thought, oh my gosh, women just carry a lot. They do a lot. They are asked to do more, and they don't ever feel like it's enough, which is pretty heartbreaking. Yeah. And I wish that we could rapidly increase the burden of the care that is necessary right now because of the pandemic and how much that is falling on women, and use that and translate that into more of like a gender equity lens for public policy, for workforce policy, for social policy. I mean,
instead of, you know, this article we mentioned in The Atlantic talks about other pandemics and how it has set women back because there wasn't special attention put on women during those times and what extra burdens they have. And then some of those things that were being worked on, women getting paid equally or having more opportunity, get left by the wayside because this big thing is happening. And yeah, that it's left there for quite a while. And so, yeah, I guess that would be the hope. And that's part of why we do conversations like this, is someone's going to hear this. We're going to plant a little seed in someone's mind, you know, that, hey, yeah, women should be getting paid more for this work that they are doing on the front lines. Women should have backup in the home. Yeah. You know, there's just a lot of things. Women also, you know, whether it is, I talked about my situation. We also had a few women on our group that are retired. They carried a huge burden of guilt.
Oh, totally.
And felt even sheepish about saying anything about it. And my heart broke for them because absolutely they have the right to say that it is hard. And they feel isolated and that they feel guilty for not doing more.
They're doing absolutely what they should do for the common good. But then, yeah, at the same time, even knowing that, feel terrible that they're not able to do more. I do think that just my hope through all of this, Heidi, is that we will listen to women and use this time as an opportunity to, how can we create a fairer, more equitable, less vulnerable society and world, rather than have it be another situation where it just sets us back.
Well, we know women, you know, we're not waiting around for men to do this for us. We know that women can do this, right? You know, but I think part of it is, as we've said before in conversation, we've all grown up under these systems, and the first steps are having these conversations, just pointing out, you know, when you meet with your friends saying, hey, is there something, you know, different going on here for women? What's the extra that you are doing that is affecting you physically, you know, emotionally, and how you're going about things? And just start to ask things like that, and then have to keep talking. And I have a belief that we can make some changes once we all get through this pandemic. If we continue to follow what our leaders are telling us to do, I think.
Our local leaders, like our state leaders, you mean?
Yes, our state leaders. And be safe, you know, and work towards the common good. Even though you're dying to see your mother, I know you are. It's something we have to do as we keep on going, so.
Absolutely. And I think to just have to keep our heads on straight, which means for me that we're all going to go through a lot. We're going to have a lot of different emotional responses and a lot of different, you know, from being despair to anger to present and fine to not judge ourselves for that, because we have been put in a situation, in a society, in a structure that already we started out less than. So just, we need to be mindful of that. That's a real thing.
Yeah, I have been surprised by my biggest emotional reaction during the pandemic so far has been anger. And I've been so surprised by that. I don't mean I never got angry before, but I think it's playing into a lot of things for me to take a look at. And that part of that is that I think I need to be good all the time. I think that I shouldn't be angry, and that, you know, I should just be quiet and do my work as well as I can and do what's expected of me. Yeah. And then this anger rears its head, and I think, what is this? What? Why would I feel this way? What is wrong with me? Rather than thinking like, there's a really good reason to be angry here.
Absolutely. And yeah. The anger is a lot, it's, you know, there are a lot of different reasons for it. And some of it is directly tied to, you want everybody to be in this together and working for the common good and doing what we know. We don't know what we don't know, but we do know a couple of things that work to help contain some of this stuff. And so yeah. You want people to be doing that. And then I think when you are working super hard to help figure this out and help make sure people are informed and getting whatever they need, that's a fair, you know, that anger is fair.
Yeah.
It's hard though, because we're not used to feeling like, I don't think, I mean.
Yeah, I'm sure you and I have had this happen many times, and huge percentage of the people listening to us right now as well. Sitting in a parking lot at a grocery store, watching to see if the people coming out and the people going in are wearing masks, and kind of judging by the amount of cars in the parking lot whether you're going to go in based on all of those things. And then sometimes just making the decision, no, I'm not going today. I just don't feel right about this. I've talked to so many people that, and it's such an unusual, you know, whoever had any of those sorts of thoughts before running into the grocery store.
Right. Well, the whole mask thing to me is fascinating, because it's like you wear it so you don't spread things to other people. I mean, it's a symbol of trying to
right. do. And just because, you know, you think that you are not sick, it's a lot more. It is a symbol. So even if you fully believe you are not sick, which you probably haven't been tested, so you don't actually know that for sure, but, you know, it's a symbol that you are doing something and that you're trying to stay safe. You know I appreciate that when I go somewhere and the checkout people are being very, very safe. There's another group of people on the front lines there.
Yeah. One thing from the focus group too that I thought was fascinating, somebody brought up how, now this is getting kind of political and whatever, you can delete this if you want, but like the whole, when protesters, people who are protesting having to stay home and having to wear masks or protective stuff.
Right. That's why my body, my rights.
Yeah, my body, my right. Like those are, that's a woman's slogan for making choices about our bodies.
Yeah.
That they're suddenly using.
Right.
In a situation that's like, wow, that's really twisting some stuff. It's about the implication on others here. And it feels like women and maybe just because of the conversations that I've had with other women, we're trying to hold that.
We learned a lot of things, and I think we made space for a lot of women to talk. It opened up, kind of broke open a dam afterwards, you might say. We won't talk about what exactly we heard afterwards, but how would you explain the email thread that went immediately after that focus group?
I think it was when I looked at, because I reread the whole thing again before we had this, just to kind of have a better sense of like eagle eye view of what that is when that happens. People, when given the freedom to really express without judgment what's different for them in their experience, they will. And it was pretty clear through a lot of that one woman's like, I'm doing 100% of the childcare. I'm doing 100% of the shopping. Sometimes I don't want to say stuff like that, you know, I don't want people thinking that my partner is, you know,
yes.
And then you feel ashamed. I mean, there's all that.
I think you'll find if you have the time and you can do this, if you start talking, especially women talking to other women, start asking some of these questions. It pulls you out of yourself as well. I think right after, I had a hard time sleeping that night and a hard time shaking kind of the conversation, not in a bad way, but because it also made me remember why I'm doing the work I'm doing right now, and that I'm not in it alone, and that everybody's struggling with something right now, more so than has ever happened before.
Yeah.
So. It's a good reminder, because it's so easy, especially in this isolation, to think that you've got it the worst and that you're the most exhausted and that you are, you know, and you might be, but
yeah,
a lot of other people struggling. So,
And I also want to say that it's okay for women to say what they are experiencing and to acknowledge when things are inequitable. And
right. It
doesn't mean that we hate men or are crazy people. We're trying to say what is really happening to us.
Right.
For us, by us.
As women, I think are stepping up more to do the collective good in the world, but that doesn't mean we don't have the right to be individuals and to do our own work and to do what we want to do in the world, you know? Yeah. So that's where it is. Men don't even, I think, have to think twice about that.
Right. I would agree. I really would.
Yeah. We have one person we talked to in our group who has the non-traditional home life of she's the main breadwinner and her husband does all the childcare and I think food stuff and, you know, really has more of the role we think of women holding. And she feels a lot of guilt for not being the traditional. She would like to be with her children more. She would like to be doing some of those things. So everybody's feeling it from very different places, women and men, and it's a tough time. And I think it's just good to keep conversations going that are productive and let people kind of get things out and talk. You know,
yeah.
Someone said during our group, we don't get to say everything we are dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the key is to let's listen and learn from it, mm-hmm. and let's do something with it, because we're going to find ourselves in a situation like this again.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. And do we want to find ourselves in that situation based on what we learned here, you know, struggling even more, or do we want to change things so that they work better for more people?
Well, we want to let you know that you will keep you posted about other focus groups we'll be doing. We'll be doing them remotely, of course. And so then we can offer that to people if they want to be a part of these conversations. So we'll keep you posted through KEXE.org and through our radio broadcast. But Laura, thank you so much. I think it was such a, they've all been meaningful conversations, but this one, so much more so for strong women.
That one will be in my mind forever.
Yeah.
For sure. And thank you, Heidi. And thank you, KAXC. I can't give you enough shouts out or kudos for all the work and extra you guys are doing right now. I mean, it's really, it truly does make you feel like connected and part of community in a way that no other format is able to right now. So thank you.
You're welcome. I think just the sound of people's voices who sound like you.
Yeah, caring.
Yeah. Can make a huge difference that's not just national news, you know? So that's why we do it. We got to keep ourselves afloat too, so.
Absolutely.
We keep it going. Thank you, Laura Connolly. I'm Heidi Holton. This has been Strong Women.